Item number 4 from Corporation Counsel.
From Corporation Counsel, providing the initial report on the 2013 Act 203 establishing the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
All right. Good morning.
Madam Chair and Supervisors, this is a report I prepared in response to a lot of requests and questions. I distributed it generally, including to supervisors and, of course, all of you as members of this committee. I'm glad to walk through it. I'm glad to answer questions. I'm glad to do whatever the committee pleases.
I definitely would like to go over and some particular number two.
Okay. Sure. I'll go through it and then, of course, be glad to answer questions either along the way or at the end. One of the tasks here is to try to interpret these new statutory provisions that were sent over to us by the legislature and try to figure out what they mean. So that's essentially what this report is, the first attempt to try to figure out just what it was that was passed and what it all means. And basically what I've done here is try to rely on the actual wording of the statutes. There are no court cases. There are no other interpretations. So I'm looking at the statutes and trying to incorporate and bring everything together in the statutes and figure out where we stand. And you'll note this is dated May 16th. There are a few updates or at least clarifications or things that have happened since I wrote this report, and I'll try to mention those as I go through. As you know, now considered Act 203 was passed by both houses of the legislature. It was signed by the governor on April 8th. It was published the next day, and it became effective the next day, April 10th. It contains 52 sections. There are many, many provisions in there, dozens of provisions. They address primarily chapters 46 and 51 as they relate to Milwaukee County mental health programs. Some of the provisions and the amendments and the amendments to the amendments are somewhat confusing. There's an engrossed bill, but even that, I think, can be a little confusing. So, again, I've tried to go through and give my interpretation as best I can of some of these confusing and sometimes conflicting provisions. There are also a few provisions of the Act that are not statutory but are added on at the end to help with interpretation or clarification, at least, of what the legislature is doing. But as of April 10th, the effective date, the mental health policy and mental health function lies with the new mental health board, and the county board has no jurisdiction over mental health functions in the county. This is stated in several ways in several portions of the Act and now in the statutes that were amended effective that date. I've listed several of them there on page 2 of the memo, and I think that certainly the intent here seems clear by the legislature, and they've spoken on their intent on this front.
Can you go over, please? Just on the about here.
Go ahead.
I would like you just to go each item bullet by bullet.
Okay.
So we understand, because there's some questions that I have, particularly when it comes to funding, mm-hmm. and as they have deficits, we are not responsible. Since we're not responsible taxpayer, give them the money, that's it.
That's right.
So let's go over it.
Okay. As I mentioned earlier, the changes of the in the statutes were made primarily in Chapter 46 and Chapter 51. You know, I'm newer than any of you to the county, but as far as I can tell, Chapter 46 has not been at least the main operative section for quite a while in Milwaukee County. It relates back to the old hospital institutions, maybe even back into the 1800s. The operative sections have been Chapter 51 primarily, at least the sections that people have looked to. Nonetheless, the legislature amended both of them with Act 203. So to some extent it has sort of revived or added new life to Chapter 46, some of the provisions, but it made changes to both chapters. So we have in Chapter 46 that Mental Health Board shall adopt the policies regarding mental health and mental health institutions, programs, and services in Milwaukee County. Chapter 51, the Mental Health Board shall make the final determination on mental health policy in the county. Chapter 51, the Mental Health Board shall replace the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors in all mental health functions that are typically performed by a County Board of Supervisors. Chapter 46, the County Board of Supervisors may not form policies regarding mental health or mental health institutions, programs, or services. Chapter 51, the County Board of Supervisors in Milwaukee County has no jurisdiction over any mental health policy, functions, programs, or services. Chapter 51, the Milwaukee County Board of Supervisors may not create new mental health functions, programs, or services that are under the jurisdiction of the Board of Supervisors. And then into Chapter 59, which deals with county board powers, Milwaukee County Board has no jurisdiction and may not take any actions, including under other sections, related to mental health functions, programs, and services. So in several ways, in several places, the legislature has made clear that jurisdiction over mental health policy and mental health programs belongs now to the Mental Health Board, not to the County Board of Supervisors. County Board does retain responsibility for the developmentally disabled programs of the county, except where explicitly delegated to the Mental Health Board.
Can you explain that? Because that's contradictory. If we have our powers over the mental health for Milwaukee County, but not the mental health who are in our institutions, how can we dictate policy for one? We can't dictate policy for one, not for the other.
The best way to think about it is that the Act specifies that budget units 6,300 and 8,700, which were BHD and community programs, uh-huh, are under the Mental Health Board, and all the other portions of the county DHS remain with the county board.
Now, what community service do the county that the new board have? I need to know the services.
Right.
They need to expound on that more.
Sure. Actually, the next section of
memo
gets to that, and I can detail that for you.
Now,
this all took effect as in terms of the boards, the two boards' jurisdictions. This all took effect on April 10th, so over 2 months ago. The Mental Health Board has not met yet. Most but not all of the members have been appointed by the governor. I heard yesterday that the board apparently plans to hold its first meeting on July 17th. I'll call it BHD administrators and others in the county are planning to present the board with some proposed procedures, administrative guidelines, things like that, that the board could consider adopting at that point. But it'll be up to the Mental Health Board when it meets to determine, you know, some of these policy issues, and it may do that at the July 17th meeting. It may do that later. It's required to meet six times a year. How often it meets and exactly the form of those meetings and things like that will be up to the Mental Health Board to decide within the statutory parameters that it has.
Mr. Barton, who do the board is accountable to?
Well, really to itself and to the public, I think.
Not even to the public. As you stated, to yourself. They're not representing anyone.
They're not elected, that's right. They're appointed by the governor, and eventually they'll be appointed or reappointed by the county executive.
Yeah. Oh, they get reappointed again by the county exec? After this start, the county exec has the opportunity to appoint their own board?
Well, the right now they're considered a state board, part of the state government.
The board is.
The mental health board. The mental health board, right. At the end of this year, starting January 1st of 2015, they become an entity of the county government. The current members are required to be reappointed by the county executive.
So where's the checks and balances, Mr. Burke? This is a state ditch, so we don't have no checks and balances? And they talking about this is good government? Oh, wow. Okay, keep going. I'm sorry, Matt. I got a lot more about it. You go ahead.
My guy's question was, where do the meetings have to take place? Are they the meetings in Milwaukee County? Or where are the meetings? You said there's six times a year. Right. Where are the meetings?
There's no place specified. So most of the members, I think, are from Milwaukee area. County.
We don't know where they could be. And how are they noticed publicly?
They'll be noticed like regular public meetings.
Where would, if I wasn't on the board and was, someone from the medium or just regular citizen, where would I look? Would I have to check? Where would I look to find that? Yeah,
not sure. It'll come out through, right now, I think it'll come out through the BHD administration.
And it's not a regular scheduled, monthly meeting like Health and Human Needs. It could be whenever.
Right. Once they, and here I'm assuming a little bit, but once they have their organizational meeting, then they'll have to create notice structures and things like that as any board.
So that's yet to be determined, basically?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
Right. I don't know.
Can we keep going with the presentation?
Yes, Mr. Burke, sure. Go ahead. If committee members can please, if you could hold your questions until Mr. Burke finishes,
sure,
that would be beautiful.
Okay.
Thank you. Bat him down.
We
got all day. Roger Taylor loves that.
I can tell you that in the interim period here between April 10th change in jurisdiction and the first meeting of the board, which now looks like it'll be July 17th, the BHD administration under the county executive is operating day-to-day, as I know we've had this discussion a little bit before, but they're operating day-to-day as they would normally. They have not had big contracts approved because there's nobody to approve them right now. And they're waiting for their policy-making body to come into effect. The areas, back to Supervisor Mayo's question, the specific areas that are designated to be under control of the Mental Health Board are the ones I set out here on Section 3 of my report on page 3, relying on the statute's reference to these two budget units. So the 6300 budget unit, which we usually call BHD, includes the management and support services, adult crisis services, inpatient services for adult and children, inpatient or rehab central, and the Hilltop inpatient unit. Those units have 525 FTE employees, expenditures of around $78 million in this current budget, tax levy of $47 million, and other revenues of $31 million, which are primarily either the state aid or patient revenues. The 8700 budget unit, which we've called Community Services Branch of BHD, includes adult day treatment, AODA, number of programs in AODA, family intervention support services, and CATC wraparound and non-court-ordered wraparound, and then the mobile urgent treatment. Those units have 100 FTE, $100 million dollars in expenditures, tax levy of $10 million, revenues of $91 million. And I list the totals there, a total of 625 FTE, covering 753 individuals. These are taken from the 2014 final budget figures. Obviously, there have been some changes since then. And that includes a tax levy in the current budget of $57 million against $180 million of total expenditures. There is a provision in the statute that says that the Mental Health Board may transfer to itself, with the approval of the state DHS secretary, jurisdiction over any other Milwaukee County function, service, or program that pertains to mental health or is highly integrated with mental health services that is not already under its jurisdiction. Frankly, I don't know what that means. Nobody's interpreted that. There hasn't been yet, to my knowledge, any move to do that. On the other hand, the board hasn't met. Whether they have any interest in doing that or whether there will be any move to do that remains to be seen. Starting January 1st, the Mental Health Board could make such a move only with the concurrence of this board and the county board.
Supervisor Mayo.
I'm sorry, I didn't remember. You just try to brush over that. Well, you just made a comment about that they have the right to petition the state and the secretary of approval, but for if they want to take it over. But then you came back later and said they got concurrent with us.
After January 1st, it has to be with the concurrence of the county board. Before January 1st, it's between the Mental Health Board and the state secretary.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the clarification.
No, that's fine.
I mean, you...
No, there's a lot here, and that's, I'm glad to answer questions. So. Powers that have been delegated to the Mental Health Board are set out in the statute. Mental Health Board shall oversee the provision of mental health programs and services in Milwaukee County, budget money, allocate money, attempt to achieve cost savings, and there are a number of treatment concepts that are set out in the statutes, such as community-based services and early intervention. There are actually about a dozen of those concepts that the Mental Health Board is supposed to commit to. Supposed to pursue those. They, in keeping with the jurisdiction that the Mental Health Board has been granted, they have primary responsibility for the well-being, treatment, and care of the mentally ill, alcoholic, and other drug-dependent citizens residing within Milwaukee County, including emergency services. This is the second paragraph under Section 4. This is essentially the same charge that's now given, or had been given in the past, I should say, to Milwaukee County under Chapter 51. Basically, the words Milwaukee or Mental Health Board have been substituted in there now instead of Milwaukee County. There's a 2% cash reserve that the Mental Health Board is supposed to build under Chapter 46. As I mentioned before, they're supposed to meet six times a year, and they also are required to hold an annual public hearing. They can meet more often than that, of course, but they have a minimum of six meetings a year. They're subject to the open meetings law and public records law. The directors, the staff, the administrators, the county executive appoints the county DHS director, Mr. Colon, at this point, as a community programs director. And community programs in this context, in this Chapter 51 reference, continues to be, as it has been in the past, broader than just Budget Unit 8700. It basically includes all of BHD as we think of it. So that is really not a change, except that this person is now responsible to the Mental Health Board instead of through the County Board. The County Executive nominates the BHD Administrator. In fact, he has done so. Ms. Patricia Schrader. My understanding is she's working about half-time now, and I think around the first of the month plans to go full-time. The county executive sets the salary, benefits, and job duties of the BHD administrator, and the nomination is subject to Mental Health Board confirmation, which will be taken up by them when they meet. The executive also, Executive appoints the liaison. This his appointment has been made. It's Kathy Eilers. She's in position and has been working. The county board is prohibited from changing that appointment. She's limited to 12 months, although subject to some extension by the mental health board if necessary. The county DHS director, as in the past, but now under the jurisdiction of the mental health board, has substantial oversight over the federally and state-funded care and facilities and services that are provided. There's a provision stating that the mental health board may delegate certain functions to the county DHS director. I read that particular provision as more of an administrative juggling as opposed to a big change in direction. But that'll be up to the mental health board.
What was Eiler's position now? What is it?
She's this transition liaison, so she's working. She's been working for about a month, I want to say. Working with the current setup, she'll be working with the board once they meet, kind of getting things moved over, transitioned.
Okay. She was appointed.
Yes.
By the
executive.
By the exec. And she was appointed something, but the board rejected her, correct? What was that for?
In the past.
Yeah, she was rejected by the county. She was director. So she was appointed as director for what, BHD?
Yes.
And the county board rejected her.
Yes.
And so now she's in this position.
Yes.
Okay, just wanted to be clear.
She'd, I'm sure you know better than I do, but she had been at BHD, I think, for some period of time, right? She'd,
yeah. Yes. Like a decade.
Yes.
We get next to the section on personnel, mental health personnel, essentially personnel that in our terms have been assigned or been attached to the 6,300 and 8,700 budget units, in other words, these 7,853 individuals that I mentioned earlier. They remain county employees, but they're under the control or the authority of the mental health board and the structure. And then through them, through the board, then mental health administrators, including the county DHS director, the BHD administrator, and above them, through the board, the county executive. This includes setting salaries, work conditions, the one collective bargaining agreement that's in place, the unit, the nurses, that remains in effect. Under Act 10, it deals only with wages, but the replacement contract will go to the Mental Health Board. The Mental Health Board becomes the appointing authority for civil service purposes and not the county board.
Supervisor Mayo?
Unfortunately, that I think you need to really look at it as our corp counsel, because civil service is not really the place where people go to deal with disputes. It's the PRV board. Mm-hmm. And the civil service board will inform you that. And we don't have a plantation out there. So I think we better make sure that as state county employees, they need the same rights that every other county now a representative county employee have. Mr. Bart, I really think you need to look into that. I don't think the state has the power. I mean, we either are, but I don't think they're going to make laws to make this conflict what they really want done. So I think you really need to look into that, particularly since these are not state employees, and there's nowhere in the state of Wisconsin that the state representatives or the senator or the governor have to come in any other jurisdiction and tell you how to work with your employees. So I really think you need to look into that. not just give that, because you also stated earlier, and I'm gonna walk out, that some of this stuff is not by statute. You are interpreting that. That is wrong. You need to go exactly by what we need to do. And the other thing that I really want you to know, if they're okay, when you get the deficits, once we give them the funding, since we have no jurisdiction over them, and the only thing we can do is approve their budget, we should not have taxpayers on the hook if they deficit, not coming from other departments. They are no longer of that entity, not the employees, a function of all the county. And that you need to look into. And I will stay very strong, because when it comes to budgeting, I have a lot of questions about that.
Well, on the second point, that's easy. I agree with you fully on that. They have to live within their budget that's set through the process, and the only way they could get money from the county to cover any deficit is through approval of the county board, and, you know, I think it's safe to say that's not going to be likely, but...
That's a pretty good call.
Right.
I'm not going to answer that one, but...
On the Civil Service Commission, let me tell you that I've looked at it, Civil Service Commission has looked at it, Civil Service Commission's attorney has looked at it, PRB has looked at it, and the PRB's attorney has looked at it. PRB, at its last meeting, announced it would not be taking jurisdiction over any mental health matters. They're not going to hear them. Civil Service Commission has been studying it. They've had some sessions and some closed sessions. I don't want to speak for them, but I think they understand, and I think they're about ready to say that they're going to take jurisdiction and they're going to hear these matters.
Mr. Bart, I have one more question, and I think we need to get people who are outside and be independent. Who points the Civil Service Commission? Who points the PRB board?
Civil Service Commission appointed by the county executive.
Who points the PRB board?
PRB is appointed by the county executive.
So we got plantation going on? All right, I just, in other words, the master say, this is what I want, this is what we're going to get. Okay, Mr. Barnes, who do you represent?
I represent the county, represent you, represent the county executive,
okay,
represent the mental health board.
Okay, I'm just checking, all right.
Okay.
Thank you, Madam Chair, for my leniency.
Please continue, Mr. Barton.
Mm-hmm. Under the statute, the community programs director, meaning the county DHS director, is required by statute now to establish the salaries and personnel policies, the programs of the county department of community programs, in other words, these workers, subject only to county executive and mental health board approval. This and a similar provision in Chapter 46, which specifies that the salaries of other physicians, additional officers, and employees whose duties are related to the mental health shall be fixed by the county executive, give essentially full authority for salaries and working conditions over to the administration. These provisions apply to employees in the former 6,300 and 8,700 budget units, although not to employees else in other budget units who might be doing some mental health work but are not assigned to those budget units. County Board has no jurisdiction, may not take any actions related to mental health functions, programs, or services. In light of all of these directives and putting these things together, I don't see any way that the County Board can enforce any of its ordinances against those employees or in favor of those employees, including status quo. And I know that it's a sore point, but I just don't see how you can do it. So.
Supervisor Weishan?
Thank you. Just if you could just take a little bit deeper on that, because the problem that I'm having is that in 2015, this is supposed to be a county entity, and you have the county executive, and these are county employees, yet somehow our general ordinances aren't going to apply. And I understand that, you know, we're not involved on the policy side, and I can't tell them how to do anything. But I don't understand how the kind of umbrella, kind of general county things don't apply. So if you could go in depth a little bit more on that.
County board doesn't have jurisdiction over these programs. The county board doesn't have jurisdiction. That's what the statute says. So,
but I on that point, it's just like how can they be a part of county government yet not be subject to like the basic stuff? Like, you know, how do we then claim that the civil service applies because they're a county entity? But then, you know, I think there's some kind of cherry picking here on what applies. And that,
well, remember that county is a creature of state government. So I start with the statutes. Civil service is a statutory creation. Civil service system is Section 63, basically, of the statutes. County employees, by statute, are covered by civil service. Civil Service Commission, by statute, hears terminations, demotions, certain suspensions. That's statutory, and the state legislature has told the county that that's the way it's going to be. In the same way, the state legislature has now told the county, you know, kind of like it or not, but this is the way it's going to be on jurisdiction over mental health workers, on who sets salaries, on who sets working conditions. And the county ordinances have to fit within that framework. And if they don't fit within that framework, then the ordinances are always going to be trumped by the state statutes. So it's not cherry-picking. If I start with the, you know, statutory references and the statutory framework and say the statutes provide civil service, the statutes provide who's going to set salaries, the statutes provide who's going to have jurisdiction over these programs. And if there's a conflict and an ordinance attempts to do something that's not provided for in the statutes, the ordinance is going to lose out.
All right, well then, well I guess I don't know how clear we make it then that you know, the county executive is then responsible. So if you have any kind of labor disputes, if you have, I mean, if anything goes to hell out there and people just decide we're not showing up and we're going to walk off the job, he's the only one individual who can solve that problem.
Well, or the mental health board. Now, I should add that the mental health board is certainly free to look at things like the status quo ordinance and say, you know, those are good ideas, or some of those are good ideas, or we like this portion in the status quo, or we think that something like that ought to be adopted as the policy of the mental health operation. And the mental health board would be free to do that if they chose to.
Well, like I said, I'm just trying to get to another deeper level here because I still am struggling with this concept that it can somehow be a county entity, but then not be having to adhere to any so-called general county policies. What then makes it a county entity? But if you could continue, sorry for interrupting.
No,
but I just thought it was bigger.
Madam Chair, I just want to me, it's pretty clear that they are not county employees. They do not work for the county. They work for the mental health board. That's what it seems to me. If they don't have to follow, you know, the civil service rules, if things that are in place for everyone else is not fit them, then how can they be considered working for the county? How can they be considered county employees? So to me, they could be treated totally different. If they're going to have their own, they got their potential, their own set of rules. I mean, I don't see any other way. So now you have what 700 and. 720 or 753 individuals that do not work for Milwaukee County. They work for the Mental Health Board. That's what I look at. That's how I'll treat them from this point on. Don't call me. Call them. That I have, I don't know how many live in the 9th District. You know, I can't do anything for you.
I think as a practical matter, that's probably a reasonable way to look at it. I think as a legal matter, you know, there may be some areas where they're sort of legally county employees, but as a practical matter,
yeah,
their appointing authority, their employer, their practical employer, the person that's going to be setting their policies is the mental health board.
And I think we all get calls from we all get calls from employees when there's something's going on. I get them from time to time. I'm sure we all do. And if they work in these two org units, I mean, I hate to say it, not my problem. Nothing I can do.
A question had come up as we were discussing this about the indemnification requirement of Section 895.46 of the statutes. That statute provision does require that a judgment entered against a public official or government employee because of acts committed while acting within the scope of employment must be paid by the official's employer, namely Milwaukee County. I understand this is a potential sore point. That provision was not amended by Act 203. A reading of that plain language would say that the county would still be responsible for that employee's judgment if that employee was acting within the scope. Obviously, this is probably a lawsuit waiting to happen if there was ever a judgment entered like that.
Mm-hmm. I have a question.
Go ahead, Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Mr. Barton, I don't know how we have to do this, but we really need to get you or outside counsel to challenge some of these things. If they are not employees of Milwaukee County, they should not be. They should have the opportunity to opt out and find employment within. Because are we paying a pension? Are we paying a health insurance? Are there all the things we do? Because I feel that they are county employees.
They are county employees in the legal sense, and for some of those purposes, as a practical matter, as to who can control them.
No, because you can't have. Mr. Barton, and you've been in private practice, unless you can tell me and show me case study or any other place that, okay, we're going to have one entity here that we are responsible to pay the salary, we're responsible to do everything else. Now, legally, if they do something wrong that's not responsible for us, Milwaukee County got to pick up the tab. Even in private practice, you can tell me something like that. I really would like to see that. But we really think there should be something, because Milwaukee County and my colleague, I see the board right now, have not, they need a 2x4 and start saying, we need to sue to make sure that we understand exactly what's going on. Because what you just telling me, we just supposed to swallow it? And that's a hell of a pill to take. Because I understand everything else. Mm-hmm. The board, they are responsible. Now you're saying Milwaukee County, my constituents, me, I'm on a tax, I'm on a on a dime in case they make a mistake out there. Chris Abley wanted this by himself. He got it. Let that board, whatever their money, let them take it. Let them get the liability insurance. Let them get the aerial mission insurance. That's all they have to do. Now, I know risk management. I can set it up for you. We can make sure that everything's by itself. Because you keep telling me legally they are ours, but not. Something wrong with that picture. And they craft all this because they figure the county board is not going to sue. They're not going to question. And we are the arm of the state. But sometimes they make a damn, they make mistakes too.
Mr. Bargan, thank you for your patience here
morning. That's fine. As you say, I'm here for the morning. So.
Right.
Or maybe the afternoon. So.
Got all day. What happens when you have a short agenda here?
No, that's fine.
No, you don't.
Next section, Section C on page 6, gets back to the discussion that we had about civil service and so on. I can talk about that a little bit more, but again, the statutory statutes, state statutes, create a civil service system. The PRB was created by the county board as an element of that because the statutory scheme creates civil service for county and other public employees. It's still in place. because the county board doesn't have jurisdiction over mental health. PRB doesn't have jurisdiction over mental health. PRB has said it won't. And that's the discussion there on page 7 also in item D.
Item E?
Oh,
yeah.
E. Well, mental health workers could, you know, as any other public union, they could under Act 10 seek certification and so on process, but their agency that they would be dealing with, or the employer they would be dealing with, would be the mental health board, not the county board. So. And funds for any wage increments there would be found within the mental health board budget, not within the county board budget. When we get to the budgeting provisions, on page 8, the budget process is set out in the new statutes. You know, we've had some discussion about this in various committees before, but I'll go through it. The Mental Health Board proposes a total mental health budget, including a proposed tax levy and a proposed community aids amount, or the expected community aids amount. The proposed levy must be $53 million to $67 million. Unless there's been a program transferred over that would carry another levy. But generally speaking, they propose a levy within this guideline. The executive includes a levy in his or her proposed county budget that comes to the board, still within this window. Put in here a note, it's unclear how the mental health board would make its budget if the executive reduced the mental health board's requested levy. Provision is there. I don't understand how that would work if the executive did reduce the proposed levy request. The county board then shall incorporate into the budget for Milwaukee County the tax levy amount proposed by the county executive and the mental health community aids amount determined based on previous years, along with the mental health budget amount first proposed by the mental health board. Shall incorporate. Yeah, that's what it says.
Does that actually mean we have to take a vote on it, or is it just a sort of like a paperwork item that we just, you know, what is it, you know?
Passive review.
Passive review of $53 to $65 million. Well, that's a nice passive review.
I'd just like to know what incorporate means, if we actually have to take, because like with sewer PAC, we actually do take a vote on that. Is there a vote required, or is it just we vote on our county budget and then it's sort of added on to the end?
Well, I think by the time you got to your final vote, if nothing else, the final vote on the county budget on the last budget day when everything happens, would have to include this mental health budget, so that the final vote by the board would have to include the mental health component in the budget that was passed.
Right. We vote on the budget, and
because only the county board can. Make the levy, so the county board action would have to include a levy of $53 to $67 million, or whatever it is, for a levy.
Right, that's what I mean. There's a part where you vote on the budget, and then there is it's kind of just a function that then we take a vote on the overall tax levy, where they throw in everything but the kitchen sink, right. Kind of talk, and that's where Scott Walker would then veto the tax levy with his big red pencil, and it was not really a legitimate veto item because it's sort of like what you just tally up at the bottom of the sheet kind of stuff.
Yeah, but that last budget vote, you know, the several hundred million dollars, mm-hmm. and it includes all the various components. That would have to include the mental health component, and then the board would have to adopt that, including the mental health component. You could have previous votes to include a line item if you wanted to, but regardless, at the end, that final budget document would have to include a mental health segment that reflects these.
Supervisors Mayo and then Taylor.
Mr. Brown, my question to you, of the 53 or the 67, do we get the opportunity to look at the budget, or we just got a line item saying this is the budget?
It says it comes to the board. I guess it would be up to the executive. I would assume there'd be...
Here you go. No, if it comes to the board, and this is where I'm asking you a question, do we have the opportunity to look at the budget? Because the executive is not the board over there. The executive is Milwaukee County executive doing the day-to-day operations. And if I'm looking at a budget, and I need to know what's in the budget, even though we passed it, that's a public document.
The statute says you have to incorporate the amounts. Doesn't say you get to look at it. I would assume as a, you know, if I was the executive, I'd send you some details, but I'm not the executive. So
as our lawyer, and this is where I have an issue about that, if we don't have an opportunity to look at it, you can tell me we can give them a blank check and we don't know what the world's in that check. Is that what you're saying, right?
I'm telling you the statute says you shall incorporate it.
That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
I'm asking you a question. Don't bully now. Just tell me the question.
My advice is you shall incorporate it when it comes.
Is your advice saying that we should look at it and know what we're passing?
My advice is you shall incorporate it because that's your statutory
duty. Are you scared to answer the question, Corp Counsel? I mean, would you look at a budget? Would you pass something for $53 million and don't know what's in it?
If I had a statutory obligation, I guess I would, yeah.
You would?
If you had a statutory.
Whether we like it or not. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Apparently the State Assembly would because they had no problem imposing that on us.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
There's a question.
There's
I think you need to get... I think we need to go get Republican Van... What's his name? Van Hollen? I think you need to ask those questions. These questions need to be asked because I don't understand your interpretation, because the bottom line, I don't know no corporation or any other county or state function says that you're going to pass something and you don't know what's in it. And that's when they're going to come back and say, well, you passed the stuff, and that's how we had to issue about a pension issue.
No, that's you're right. There is no other law like this in the books in Wisconsin.
Interesting. I think it needs to be challenged. Okay.
All right. Supervisor Taylor.
Madam Chair, it's unclear how the Mental Health Board would make its budget if the executive reduced Mental Health Board's requested levy. Well, we deal with reduced budgets all the time, so I'm assuming that they would have to figure it out if they came in and said, we want $60 million, he says, no, you're going to get 55, you know. So, I mean,
they would have to cut it.
They would have to figure it out, I would guess. So, but speaking of the executive, I do have a question of his lobbyist, Mr. Peterson. Can this be the time to ask that question?
If
you could quickly come up.
Mr. Peterson is willing to answer questions, sure.
Well, I think I would imagine it's a question he should be able to answer.
Okay.
So, there's going to be between $53 and $65 million of taxpayer dollars, direct levy dollars from the taxpayers, that is going to be managed, spent by an unelected board. Okay, unelected, not accountable to the voters. When the executive was lobbying in Madison, or when you were lobbying in Madison for this bill, was that something that the executive was lobbying for, to have between $53 and $65 million of taxpayer dollars, direct levy dollars, to be spent, budgeted for, by an unelected board? Is that what you were lobbying for, yes or no?
Chairman and supervisors, that answer can't be given in a yes or no fashion. The intent of our lobbying was to create a board that was of medical professionals that could govern and operate the systems, including budget authority for the mental health system.
Okay, so is the county executive happy with that provision right there, that between $53 and $65 million of taxpayer dollars is just goes to unelected body to be spent? Is he supportive of that?
Chairwoman and supervisors, the county executive supported the bill. He supports the intent of the bill. That provision still does have elected accountability. The county executive is required to submit a levy portion to you, which is incorporated in the budget. So the people of this county are still holding someone accountable, in many ways solely the county executive, for the operation of the tax levy. And that budget then, once it is passed and incorporated, it returns to the Mental Health Board and is in effect.
I completely disagree that this body is at all accountable to the taxpayers.
Chairwoman and supervisors, I would just simply add, the whole portion, as you look at the budget process and Corp Counsel Bargren's report, indicates that all funds come into the budget that is adopted by this board, not simply just the tax levy, but there is a whole spread of funds. I can't remember the total funding, but a lot of funding comes in. That is all incorporated in the county executive's recommended budget. So in many ways, and in all ways, and I would look at it, the county executive is responsible for the not only the tax levy, but the entire budget that returns to the Mental Health Board, and is the way it is drafted and put in that budget is how they'll have to operate. Again, the intent of this bill is to put medical professionals in charge of those programs and services.
This Mental Health Board is no different than MMSD, which is unelected, MATC, which is unelected. They're spending, they're crafting the budget, they're making these decisions, they're spending that money at the end of the day.
The boards are elected, the other two.
What?
MATC and both are
elected. Not by the voters?
No,
no. That's can you vote on anybody at MATC? No. Can you vote on anybody at MMSD? No. So you can't vote on any of the people on that body. So, I mean, that operates this in the same fashion. They're spending that money.
Chairman Supervisor, yes, that is
aren't
correct.
Aren't we
done with
that?
So.
Thank you.
Didn't mean to put you on the spot. I want to talk.
I'm sorry, Mr. Peterson. Supervisor Schmidt has a question for you.
I had a question for you a while ago. And Mr. Bargan went through in his role, and thank you for that. But the county executive, of course, and it was his wish, and it was your duty to lobby for him. You're his representative. I appreciate that. And I also appreciate the fact that, you know, some of the points here, especially the identification, is a difficult one I think we need to look into. And so I'm presuming the county executive, of course, has taken a large role in government, and many of the powers that we had has been replaced by the county executive. He has the power in many of these contract areas, in particular mental health. Now, it's the way it is. I'm not going to lament about it anymore. It's the way it is. And the legislators spoke, too. Okay? So I guess my question is, the difficulty, and when you assess, and you were intricately involved, you did a great job, you know the legislators, et cetera, but how do we interpret next couple of months, and it comes to July, and the county executive is one who has the hands-on here, who appoints the board and everything else, fine, okay, but our full-time legislature, you know, what hasn't met since, and they have no formal meetings, the rest of the year, okay, the rest of the calendar year in 2004, we're part-time, but they're full-time, okay? But anyway, the point is that there are questions in the statute anytime you start something. So how do we get anything changed or revised? I mean, is there a liaison that, you know, the county, well, we can't talk to anybody, but the county executive or yourself can talk to and say we need to tweak this, or I mean, it's completely done. So it's completely up to interpretation of corporation counsel and the county executive. Or, I mean, I would presume you have some, you know, how can you have a perfect document here? I mean, this is new waters, and I understand we have no responsibility anymore. But then, you know, your responsibility is going to have to tweak. You know, can anything be done from July, or then the Mental Health Board makes all decisions and the county executive just has to sit by the wayside too? Do you see where I'm going on this
sure,
at all?
I understand. Okay. Chairwoman
thank
and supervisors.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
The legislature is out of its floor period, so unless there is a call for special or extraordinary session, which I highly would doubt,
right.
We will not have an official statement of the legislature to be signed by the governor to change statute
until 2015.
Such, until the beginning of the January of 2015, when okay. inauguration okay. would and the new session would start.
Sure.
The answer is yes. We're in contact with people, no different than I'm assuming your liaison, Jamie Kuhn, is as well, about issues that affect the county and such. The difference is, as Corporation Counsel Bargan will point out, interpretation, you can't just ask Representative Sanfilippo or Senator Vukmir or Senator Carpenter or Representative Pash what they meant, because they don't speak for the corporate body. So we are left then with the finely codified, how do you understand legislative intent, reading through the plain language, the understanding. There are places in here that I'm sure people can interpret, and that's what the court system is for. And I'm not in any way saying we should go to the court system, but that is the court of relief in that regard. County Executive Abley was clear when he testified on the bill. I think generally the bill is a work of compromise. There are easier ways, I think, to accomplish parts of the bill than what we ended up with, but that's how legislation is made. But he testified that no bill is ever perfect and that we should be prepared to look at what we need to change in the future and such, if there are places. So we are continually identifying, as we do in my office for his wishes, and I'm assuming Ms. Kuhn does for you, things that we need to change in law going forward. So we are constantly doing that.
Okay. But I, in answering that, he appoints the county executive, the mental health board.
That's correct.
Okay. So certainly have some input immediately there. I mean, you know.
In terms of, to get your question about the interplay with the county executive and the mental health board, it is my understanding, and Corporation Counsel can correct me if I'm wrong, the county executive has no direct power over the mental health board as well. He is limited in that regard. He can, BHD administration can offer advice and such, but the members cannot be removed because they take a vote he doesn't like and such. They can only be removed for cause. The members that were nominated by your body cannot be removed by the county executive, can only be removed by you in the statute. So the county executive can't say, I want it done this way. And I mean, theoretically, the board could be at loggerheads with the executive. That is the point of this law, is to take the politics out of that and put the medical professionals in charge of those programs and services. Certainly our BHD administration is going to be at the table, because they have the ones that have to implement that policy, whatever it may be. So,
and then, so the last thing I would say then is that if there are some glitches or some problems, even the county executive is unable to make any adjustments till after 2015.
Unless, of course, there is a vacancy that is created, or
unless it's a special session.
Exactly. But if it's a statutory change, that is correct. We are not able to do so.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
And I just want to, I think the issue that that we have, and I think that the public that's in the know has with what you just said in regards to this legislation, is that the county executive has always had control over the day-to-day operations of BHD. This board has never had that. So to step in and appoint a board and then give control to the county executive, when in essence the county executive has always had that control, makes very little sense. Whereas if you would have added this board as a caveat to the county board, as something, as a assistance to us in regards to the fact that none of us are medical professionals, and I don't think any of us are shy about saying that, I think that would have made more sense. It seems very nonsensical. In addition, the time frame, the accelerated time frame in which this happened, and here we are sitting with Mr. Bargan for almost an hour now trying to explain some of these things, and he has no answers. If the state legislature would have taken a little bit more time to perfect this legislation, to sit down and talk to people in the know, to find out what actually would have been of assistance to, BHD and to the mental health consumers in Milwaukee County, I think we would have a much better product. And so it's not really a work in progress. This is done. And here we are, and we have very many unanswered questions, and so we're kind of just all flying by the seat of our pants, and I don't think that that's a best practice when it comes to taking care of the most ill people in our communities.
Chairwoman and Supervisors, just to respond, I would offer that all laws are always in work in progress, in my opinion. That is why statutes end up being changed. We have changed the way we do things over the course of time for reasons. The legislature will likely revisit mental health again, and I would just simply add that while it may seem rushed to us on the receiving end, For the legislature, I think Representative Sanfilippo, if I'm correct, began talking in October and November about, you know, what needed to be changed, in his opinion, was able to convince 122 out of 133 legislators to vote yes for that change before the end of session. That is a remarkable feat for the legislature, in my opinion. Whether or not we like the result, I'm simply saying the idea is that there was a coalition of a near unanimous opinion in the legislature that changes needed to happen in our system, to the point of the only one vote recorded no and one vote paired no on the whole vote across the entire both houses. So,
and with all due respect, I think you could put legislation through on the state level that said that we would paint a giant target on Milwaukee County and drop a bomb on us, and you would get the same votes.
Well,
Supervisor Weisha.
Thank you. I just wanted, because I think there's some misrepresentations, and I think the chairwoman pointed out some. One, the department, just like any department, creates their budget and recommends it. So it's not going to be the mental health board that creates this budget. The department who are hired and fired by the county executive will then submit their recommendations of what they'd like to see to the mental health board. The mental health board then will, just like how the county board and our finance committee would then make some adjustments that they see fit. But the huge lacking piece is in this is that when it goes to the county exec, there's never the part where it comes back to the board. When in our budget process, that if the county exec changes something, a dollar value or eliminates a program, it comes back to the county board and we can override that veto action. The mental health board is, I see it, just a pass-through in this budget that the county executive can say, well, thanks for all your work and all your input. I think we're only going to spend $54 million or $53 million on it, even though you may have wanted 60 or 65, and that's it. It never goes back for his decisions to be overridden. And then it just mandatorily has to be incorporated into the county tax levy. And I don't know how anybody sees that as a good way to operate anything. Even a three-ring circus needs a ringmaster. And, you know, you got to have some kind of process. And so I think to claim that somehow the mental health board is somehow this oversight or responsible for operations and things like that is a total misnomer, that the county executive has always run the day-to-day operations of mental health. He hires and fires everybody. The mental health board doesn't have the ability to go in and fire people at BHD any more than the Milwaukee County Board had. The county executive is the only one who can go down there and fire people and hire people. And sure, there's some of them are subject to confirmation by the mental health board. But you know what they have done is just make one person and one person only responsible for mental health in Milwaukee County, and it's the county executive, to the tune of potentially some $65 million of unaccountable tax levy. So, you know, don't try to put this as some great compromise, because I don't know what compromise there was. And as far as this vote in Madison, I think you said it exactly right, Chairwoman, that that legislature and to a certain extent both Republicans and Democrats could care less what happens in Milwaukee. And that's why they voted the way they did. Okay, good. And I would just, if we could just continue to move on, because I do have some other things that I'd like to have some questions on, and I don't want to run out of time.
Mr. Bergen, if you could just really quickly clear up for us. I know that at the last time we met, there was also some confusion. Very quickly, again, if you could just straighten out for us. The Mental Health Board actually does have the ability to hire and fire the BHD director. Is that correct?
The BHD director is appointed by the executive, but it has to be confirmed by the mental health board. So if the mental health board didn't confirm the BHD director.
Okay. And I thought there was language in the statute that said that the mental health board could remove the director.
Um, That, I believe, is one of those areas that got caught up between Chapter 46 and Chapter 51.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. We're right exactly where we started off at. Supervisor Mayo? You want him to just continue? Okay, please continue. Thank you very much again for your patience. We knew this wasn't going to be a short item, so we're...
Fine. Deficits, we talked again a little bit, but I just want to, there have been some further discussions, so let me sort of emphasize that the levy that's available to the Mental Health Board is fixed. I think practice in the last few years has been for BHD to come in at the end of the year and say to the county board, we're $2 or $3 or $4 million in the deficit situation, but the rest of Human Services has a like amount in surplus, and why don't we transfer it? And everybody says, fine, and it's done. That can't happen this year. Cannot happen this year, absent county board approval. BHD will have to live with the levy that it has in those two budget units. The controller has already taken some steps to remind BHD of that. BHD does have a $2 million, $2.5 million sort of encumbrance that it had carried forward. It's a one-time thing. They may be able to draw down against that. The controller is working with them. It's a one-time thing. But these kind of automatic transfers that were used in the past won't be available, and VHD will have to live within the levy that's sent and, you know, shall be approved by the county board, including this year. So that will be a change. The controller and I are very aware and very diligent and very watchful of making sure that general levy monies from the rest of the county funds are not going to go to BHD through fund transfers and so on. The levy that the county has generally for other programs and funds and, you know, generally available cannot be used to sort of trickle over into BHD anymore. So we're taking steps to enforce that, and that's sort of a new development that reflects this footnote 5 on page 8 here, saying that things are complex and being studied. Well, they have been studied, and that's where the controller and I have come out, and we're making BHD aware of that. So.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo.
Mr. Bergen, do you know by state statute, since you want to talk about legal, that Milwaukee County or no other county should really have no deficit at the end of the year? They're supposed to be whole. So how are we going to do that if they deficit? And BHD, you say they're no longer part of Milwaukee County, so they can, when they come back now, we can look at it and say, they deficit, not Milwaukee County?
They'll be treated separately, and if they're basically, you know, to be real simple about it, if they're getting close to the end of the year and they are going to be showing a deficit, the controller won't improve expenditures until.
And so the state will know that they deficit, not Milwaukee County, correct? All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mental Health Board does not have any of its own bonding authority in the way that the county does. So they'll either have to come to the county board for general county bonding authority, or they'll have to take capital projects out of their yearly revenues. Talk about disbursements and item D on page 9. Generally speaking, what this says is that the Mental Health Board will have the ability to decide where it wants to buy its services. It can buy services from other departments. For example, my office provides two attorneys full-time and or more or less full-time, paralegal full-time to handle involuntary mental health commitments out at BHD. We cross-charge BHD right now for that. We'll continue to do so unless somebody tells us not to. I guess theoretically, if they want to get legal services somewhere else and they think they can do so cheaper, they would be free to do so, absent some, you know, statutory requirements. If they want to get printing paper somewhere else than through county purchasing, they could do that. If they want to take advantage of county purchasing or county HR services and things like that, they can continue to do that, and the plan is for cross charges to be made by the county departments to the new mental health board, and for that general process to continue.
Supervisor Weishan?
There's nothing that prohibits them from, say, doing one massive, large contract to some private entity just to say, manage mental health services for us, and here's $60 million to do it?
In general terms, no, they could do that. There might be some areas around the edges that would be required to stay within the county, but generally speaking, if they wanted to do a large outsourcing or do a large contract, I think they would have that ability.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Supervisor Mayo.
Do they have to deal with IDB requirements?
No, I don't think so. I think that
I don't say think so. don't do that.
No.
I think you need to put that in, right? Because the bottom line is using county tax dollars. I'm not talking about state tax dollars. I'm talking about county tax dollars. Mm-hmm. And they need to stay within our requirements. They get our money in certain things. They need to continue to certain things. And I want you to look at, don't tell me. I want that in writing. And I want you really to get that straight for me.
Okay,
thank you very much.
Thank you.
I do know that that's an issue that will be presented to them when they meet.
Thank you, sir.
And finally, the last item, a couple of items. It's the Mental Health Board, not the County Board, that has approval authority over mental health contracts. I see I lured the controller into my discussion here. The Mental Health Board will have approval over the contracts. It's the same kind of approval or same approval process that the County Board now has over other contracts, but those contracts will go to the Mental Health Board, not to the County Board. There's a sort of a passive review process that's similar to but different than the current county process. And in terms of reporting, there are some required reports. There are no required reports to... There are some required reports to this board. There's no authority by this board to require them to come in. You can ask them. They may be interested in coming in, but it's voluntary at this point.
I doubt it.
Okay. Supervisor Weishan.
Thank you. I just think the part on the contracts is huge, and I just I find there's a huge disconnect that contracts over more than $100,000 related to mental health get to take effect if approved by the health board, or if they're not voted to reject within 28 days, and then you have a board that's only required to meet six times a year, so that's every other month, so every 60 days they meet. So depending on the timing of when they submit a contract for review and their boards, you could actually have this mental health board never approve or reject a contract for, you know, up to $65 million in tax levy expenditures.
Again, you know, can't speak for them. I have no idea what they'll do, but you would assume, as a matter of good government, that they would want to address that. And
But that exists. I just want to make
exists,
sure
right.
that as long as if you know they submit their schedule, the exec then, if they don't want to have a special meeting to take up something, you could conceivably have a process where you know $65 million worth of contracts could be written. If, actually, more than that, because it's 170 some million that in worth of expenditures that could be. Written and only one person actually approving it, which is the executive.
Controller and I would also be responsible for signing those contracts under our statutory directives, but your point is correct.
But even if I remember right, for the comptroller can't so-called not approve it if the funds and the resources and things are there. He can't say, well, I just don't think it was a very democratic process and not approve the contract.
You're right in terms of policy and so on, correct? Yes.
Right. Okay, thanks. I just wanted to make that clear that because we kind of glossed over that 28-day thing. They seem to be fixated on having things done like that without real review. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Bergen?
That's all I have in terms of going through my report, but I'm obviously
The comptroller has joined us. So please, Mr. Mansky.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Scott Mansky, Milwaukee County Comptroller. You're talking about the letter from Corporation Counsel regarding the new mental health board. And where my role is coming about, one of the items that you talked about was, with regards to like the contracts, and that is that I have to have the financial perspective of if they're having surpluses or if they're having losses. Mm-hmm. If they're having surpluses, those surpluses do not come back to the county. Those go into reserves to build up dollars that are available to them in the future. However, if they have deficits, the language was somewhat silent on the fact of if they have deficits. But the approach that I've kind of taken on it is that if they're allowed to keep surpluses, then they should be allowed to keep deficits, and that the deficits do not roll back to Milwaukee County. I don't know that I have a hard place to stand for that, but that's kind of the approach that I am taking with regards to that. So based upon that approach that I'm taking with this, I'm looking at the contracts that I sign, and I'm looking at the overall point of where they're estimating to be. At the present time, they're estimating a deficit for the year for mental health of about $1.8 million deficit. That's their initial projection for the year based upon their amounts. And based upon that approach, I'm looking at their contracts when I sign them and looking at a couple of different matters before I sign those items. Because I believe that my responsibility is to ensure that Milwaukee County is not impacted financially by the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board, and the Milwaukee County Mental Health Board is not impacted by Milwaukee County, the remainder of Milwaukee County, which means I have to kind of make sure that both sides, it's fair kind of to both sides, which means I have to protect both sides in these matters, meaning that Mental Health Board cannot take things from Milwaukee County if it would require a fund transfer in order to do that, because that fund transfer would require the approval of the board. So that if you wanted to give the Mental Health Board more money, you could do that, but that would have to be through a fund transfer. That couldn't be through another means. And we could therefore not take money from them just by doing entries or other types of things or diverting revenue or doing any of those types of things. And I'm not saying that we would, but we can't do those things. So I have to watch from both sides to protect both sides. So it's a new landscape that we're approaching, but I've kind of set into my head kind of the approach that I'm taking with regards to that is kind of to make sure that both sides are protected from each other financially.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo and then Supervisor Taylor, please.
Thank you, Comptroller, for giving that brief information. But make sure it was not the medical board that you got to worry about. I mean, Milwaukee County, you got to worry about that medical board and make sure that the contracts, and they really try to help budget a their money, because right now they got $1.8 million, and they cannot blame the county board. So I want to work with you, because I would like to maintain and see how it works. But the bottom line, and corp counsel, is not about the board. It's about the patients out there. And we still got to provide a good service to those patients. But the way they went by it and trying to disrespect the board was wrong. Because now you have one master who points his board. When these boards is over with, he appoint them, and they are accountable to him. And there, I didn't think when we went to this county exec system in the 60s that one person would become a dictator. You don't have a mayor, a governor, even the state of Wisconsin, our governor, don't have a board that they point and they control like that. This is ridiculous. It's sad. But Comptroller, I'm back on finance. So I'll be with you.
All right. Supervisor Taylor.
Yeah, I was just going to say I was a little surprised to hear that the mental health board should, you know, be protected from Milwaukee County, because the way I see it is they're going to ask the county executive from between $53 and $65 million, and they're going to get it. I don't see how we're not allowed to do anything. We're not allowed to direct policy. We're not allowed to, I mean, we could send memos saying we think you're doing this wrong, and they can read them or throw them in the trash, but I don't see how we can do anything to that body once, because the state's not allowing us to. We're basically having to just, like I said, if you think I'm going to vote for any budget, I mean, now it's easy. These next two budgets, as long as I'm here, is an easy no, so you guys can work on finance all you want, but you're having a chunk of taxpayer levy dollars that is, to me, unaccountable to my constituents that I will not, and I'm going to be forced, so I know where I stand on this budget before it's even been crafted. So I still don't see how they should be worried about us, because we can't touch that board. And I'm not, I'll admit, I'm not a mental health, you know, I supported taking it out of, it's really not even out of the board's hand, because the day-to-day operations has always been under the county executive, always under the county executive. And, you know, I have only been around here a few years now, but it's my understanding, based on history, is any cuts that were made by this executive or former executive dollar-wise, it was the board putting the money back in.
Right.
So, you know, it was more of a funding, but he runs the day-to-day operation. So I just don't, you know, so I'm not an expert in mental health, and so to have experts running it is to me the best thing, but how it was done with some of these funding mechanisms, that's a real concern to me. So can you just tell me how you think that they should worry about us, because what can we actually do? What can we do?
The county board.
The county board to the mental health board when we're not allowed to. The county board to the mental health board, what negative action can we take that's going to harm their ability to function when the state law pretty much says we can't do anything?
And thank you, Supervisor. Madam Chair, what my response is in regards to is as to finances, and I did not mean that the board would be doing it, the Milwaukee County Board would be doing anything for that. Right now, we are very financially intertwined with them because they have been part of us. We have been part of them for a number of years. We have the same payroll system, the same financial system, the same cash system. All of those systems are intertwined, the same budget system, all of those different methodologies in the same purchasing system right now. So all of these systems are intertwined. And so my whole point of watching things is from a financial perspective, and I did not mean to say that it's from a board perspective or anything like that.
Well,
what I need to just make sure of is that financially, because of all of how we are intertwined with each other, that I'm protecting both sides from each other from a financial perspective. That entries that we are making to the mental health board are related to mental health, and it's a fair costing to them for what we're charging them.
So basically it's financially via procedures, how
correct.
We've operated in the past. That could, and that's what you're going to be
yes.
concerned about. Nothing that
no.
the executive or the board, for that matter, it could do to harm
no.
to harm that. Okay, because no. I think, you know, we have the media here that's not always accurate. So, you know, I would like that to be clear.
Yeah. No, and I'm just meaning from a financial perspective because I see myself as the comptroller of all of Milwaukee County. And as a result, I need to make sure financially that we are maintaining a separateness of the two while trying to do the work of everything that's financially intertwined. So sorry about that.
Okay. Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would like to receive and place this on file with that motion. And I'd like to thank Corp Counsel for putting this together, even though I might not agree. But I appreciate the information. And thank you for the conversation we have.
All right. Supervisor Lyshon?
I don't want to wrap this up to you because I still have some questions here about for Corp Counsel on, you know, it's page 4 on the talks about the county exec appoints the county Department of Health and Human Services director. As far as I understand, we still have confirmation over that position. And then that person then is designated as the community programs director?
Right. Right. The start just with the basic appointment of the DHS director. That's still a general appointment that mm-hmm. subject to county board approval. Then basically automatically whoever fills that position is by statute automatically appointed by the county executive as community programs director. So it's a sort of a dual appointment. Whoever becomes DHS director is also then automatically community programs director. So if Mr. Colon is okay. serving as DHS director, then he's also automatically placed in this community programs director position.
But he that community programs director is not need to be confirmed by the mental health board?
Right. It's just automatic by the statutes.
Okay.
And has been, actually.
Okay. Ed, we covered all the civil service stuff on that. And just to be clear, when we get to page 8, is it within our ability to have a new line item for mental health on the property tax bill like we have for MMSD or... is that our decision, or is there another entity that could make that?
I thought about it a lot, but I don't see anything that would prevent that. I think you issue the tax bills, and so I think that you could just ask the treasurer to do that, sure.
Okay, right, because I wasn't quite sure who had...
As an informational item, I would think so, yeah.
Did the comptroller have a...
I'm just thinking we can follow up on that
yeah.
and find out whether how we can do that because we're the ones that put together the amount of the levy and which then gets printed into the bill, so we can follow up on that. Mm-hmm.
Because I think it would be interesting because how we do the equalization and things like that how different parts of our community will react when they see their tax bill and what directly goes for mental health and things like that.
Yeah, we can follow up on that.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see here. On page 10, to clarify that the way you see it, that none of our county ordinances regarding how we do the bidding process, how we do RFPs, any of those, whether it deals with DBEs or anything else like that, apply to mental health. But as a, I don't know if we call them a governmental entity or whatever, are they required by some general state requirements that they have to follow a process that you can't just be a governmental entity and just do bidding or whatever that you want? There's got to be, is there some requirement on the state side that requires them to do something?
Right, there are general requirements, certainly for example for public works contracts. I was trying to think about general purchases, but they're subject to all of the general state controls and fair dealing requirements and so on. And again, if they chose to, they could adopt county practices as their own or adopt similar practices as their own as a matter of policy.
Okay, so but as
whatever's in the statutes, they'd be subject right. To.
I don't really have any more direct questions, but just I think when you look at and you sketch this out and you put this in context with everything else, they didn't think of this stuff because they, and all these conflicts and things like that, because honestly, they really don't care about the end product, about delivering services to people's families and people with mental health issues. This is about their quest to basically privatize all of government. And when you put this on top of what they wanted to do in transit and just do this contract with one private entity, you kind of see the foreshadowing of this when we privatized the healthcare out at the House of Correction. That was just, a trial and error, you could say, for then now this. The only reason that you would set up a mental health board that doesn't really get to vote yes or no on stuff, the budgeting process, is because the county exec is simply going to go to them and dump one big contract on them and say, this is how we're going to provide mental health services, and it's going to be to this healthcare conglomerate, and they're going to take care of everything. And that's it. He's not going to go through the trouble of this is one program here and this and that. When you look at the track record, it's about dumping responsibility and privatizing things. And if you would have tried that at the county board, of course we would have said no. You wouldn't get, you may have gotten one or two votes on this county board to do a massive privatization. You know, we're talking roughly 700 employees, close to $60 million. When you add in the deficit they're running, some $60 million in tax levy on this. And now it all gets decided by one individual. And that this would not be possible if it wasn't for this mental health board, this legislation. And like I said, when you look at things from a broader perspective, you see what they're trying to do and why the changes were made and why they don't care about some of these conflicts because they don't plan on dealing with them. And that goes to the point I wish the media would take a clear look. I guess my challenge to the media is who's actually going to profit off of this system? And you look at who donates to those legislators in Madison and who really pushed this. And maybe that's why you have the vote that you the way it was, because maybe Madison is just sold us out so much to the private sector that they really don't care on stuff. Because it's clear that this is nothing more than a massive privatization effort. And I just wanted to say that there's this big push for community options, and they like to hold Dane County up as an example. I believe in the last 18 months or so, there has been, I think, three people with mental health issues that were shot to death by law enforcement in Dane County. You just had a woman, I believe just recently, that was suicidal and was shot to death. That's an example of your community options program. We have our own example right here at Red Arrow Park. A person who's a paranoid schizophrenic was, part of that program, had the case manager, all of that, shot to death by law enforcement right in downtown Milwaukee. And that had nothing to do with the county board and our responsibilities of providing a budget and things like that. It comes down to the day-to-day operations of mental health, which is the county executive. And I just find it, appalling that, nobody wants to report on this stuff in the right context. The problem for mental health has never been the county board. People talk about they want mental health experts. Paula Lucy, who was the director of BHD, resigned because she didn't feel, she thought the transition was going too fast. She said that publicly. We had doctors, nurses, staff people testify at our last budget hearing saying not to follow the county exec's move. The media wants to totally disregard that. We added millions of dollars back into the behavioral health budget. And what did they do? They said, we have to take the authority away from you because we did the right thing. And they're going to put it, you know, in the hands of these so-called experts. Never once has the county board ever interfered in, you could say, a diagnosis or a medical part. So I don't quite understand why somebody thinks by putting a so-called doctor, PhD, whatever, on a board somehow makes that you an expert in operations management, labor relations, contracting, because that's the policy part of it. So I don't understand where they think that you're somehow going to get this great mental health board because someone is a psychiatrist. What do they know about contract law? What do they know about labor law? They don't, and that's why they're going to say, yeah, let's just dump it off to this healthcare conglomerate, and they'll take care of everything, because they're not experts in that. But yet people want to cast this county board in saying that we were somehow interfering at behavioral health because God forbid that we build a new mental health facility. And you know, when you look at what's actually taking place and how they're going to do this and this community options piece, because they demanded that they commit to it, which I'm not quite sure what the commitment really is, because the biggest failures that we've had in the BHD healthcare, the most public that have been out there, have come on some of the community options side. You know, people with mental health issues, when two police officers not far from my district on 6th and National were shot, they were shot by a paranoid schizophrenic who didn't take his medicine, who was part of the community options program, and when they went up to talk to him, he pulled out a gun and shot him. That would have never happened had that person been in an appropriate facility. But we don't want to talk about that. We want to claim that somehow our facility is all bad and evil and everything like that, and that's not the truth. A lot of those people are there because there's not a private provider that wants to take them, and the capacity is not out there. And so I think that the media has done a disservice to this community by portraying what has been put forward here as some kind of solution. This is about a bunch of profiteers at the state level through campaign contributions are going to come in like vultures and rape and pillage our system. And then, as they said, when they screw it all up even worse than it is now, then they'll pass a new law to try and fix it. But by then, Scott Walker will be gone and all these other people will be on. And just like a plague of locusts, they'll move on to some other public entity. So thank you for allowing my long-winded diatribe. I didn't mean, but it needed to be said that I think that a lot of this stuff is extremely wrong. And only one person in this community who's responsible for mental health now, to the tune of some $170 million, and that's the county executive. And every time there is a mental health incident, it ought to say, what does Chris Abley what is Chris Abley gonna do about this? And in fact, after Red Arrow Park, that's the question that should have been asked, but it wasn't. So my challenge is to the media is to hold him accountable for that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your patience, and thank you for the excellent report. We do have a card from Mr. Dave Eisner from AFSCME DC 48. Mr. Eisner, thank you for your patience.
Thanks. Good morning, Chairwoman and Supervisors. Dave Eisner, Contract Administrator of AFSCME, District Council 48. District Council 48 met with a representative of the county executive, the DHHS director, and interim administrator of BHD last week to obtain clarity on BHD operations. AFSCME District Council 48 would like to offer our opinion as to how Act 203 affects employees at BHD. First of all, we concur that BHD employees remain county employees, as evidenced by their paychecks being issued biweekly from Milwaukee County. As such, BHD County employees are subject to all provisions of county ordinances. County Ordinance 17.015, also referred to as status quo, indicates in pertinent part, notwithstanding, I'm reading right from the status quo, any provision of these ordinances to the contrary, for employees who hold positions that were included within the certified bargaining unit represented by ASME, as of January 30th, 2012, all provisions of the 2007 to 2008 collective bargaining agreement between ASME and Milwaukee County are adopted by reference and incorporated herein. That includes and covers employees of BHD. Act 203 cannot retroactively rescind decades of legislation and county ordinance. To the point and discussion by Corp Counsel, if there is a conflict between county ordinances and state statutes, statutes would trump the ordinance if there is a conflict. When there is no conflict and statutes are silent, ordinances apply. We believe that this is being spun to achieve a desired result. So under the current county ordinance, this is found on the county's website under Human Resources Laws and Rules. This is Chapter 1.25, Directives of the County Board, How Enforced. So Subchapter 2 indicates county executive responsibilities. It shall be the responsibility of the county executive to see that all resolutions or ordinances adopted by the county board are properly carried out and to inform the county board should the officer, department head, or board, or commission directed to perform a duty or make a report, fail to do so within a reasonable period of time. Going down to that same 1.25, subchapter 6, it says penalty. Penalty for willfully violating this code by any department head or employee is considered a cause for discharge, suspension, or demotion. So with that said, District Council 48 will vigorously pursue any violation of County Ordinance 17.015, the status quo, and will demand enforcement of General Ordinance 1.25, Subchapter 2, that's the county exec's responsibilities, and associated penalties as outlined in 1.25, Subchapter 6. Thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, we do have a motion to receive and place on file. If there's no further comment or question from committee, and I am seeing none, Madam Clerk, please call the roll on that motion.
Mayo.
Aye.
Schmidt.
Aye.
Weishan.
Aye.
Bowen.
Aye.
Taylor.
Aye.
Madam Chair.
Aye.
6 ayes, 0 noes. The motion to recommend this item be received and placed on file prevails.
All right. Thanks, everyone, for staying with us this morning.
Meeting adjourned.
Meeting adjourned. Okay, Peter said, yeah, he was scared.